electron system. You know, sometimes because we don't know what it is, because we say, oh, just strong interaction. And now I think we know better. I think what I mean by strongly correlated electron system probably really means a highly entangled system. So using the highly entangled, just a name change, but however, may change our perception or maybe the direction effort, try to understand this highly entangled system. So we know that the matter have many different phases, and so it's the Landau's deep observation that the different phase or different phase come from different order, but the different order really come from the different symmetry breaking. So different symmetry gives different phase. Okay, then based on this symmetry breaking observation, and we have this symmetry breaking theory for all kind of order and phase and phase transition, and that's one of the cornerstone of condensed matter physics. And however, things changed in early 80s when we discovered a fractional quantum Hall state. And the fractional quantum Hall state basically is a state of a two-dimensional electron system live on the interface of a semiconductor in a strong magnetic field. What is surprising is that we find a different condition, the electron can have a certain state with a precisely quantized Hall conductance. And so we have seen all these plateaus, different Hall conductance representing different state. And what is surprising here is that all these different 2D electron gas have a same symmetry. They all have a same symmetry. So there's no way to using symmetry or other parameter to distinguish different phase. So it used to be that we say the two phase are different because they have different symmetry. Now all the phase have a same symmetry, so there's no way to using symmetry to describe them. So therefore we have to think this phase must have come from different kind of organization. We call this organization topology order. So to define topology order, we have to find a way to measure it. So that's a kind of physics. In a sense, in mathematics, to define a concept, you need to propose axioms. As long as the axioms are self-consistent, you have a define something. But in physics, to define a concept, one need to design a probe which you can measure it. For example, for the crystal order, our probe is X-ray diffraction. By measure X-ray diffraction, you can measure different crystal order or define different crystal order. So, but for the topology order, the things are a little bit kind of strange. We have to use a very strange probe. We call the maybe called a topological probe to really define this topology order. So, what is probe? One probe is that we can put system on the two-dimensional space with different topology, and we measure what we measure ground state degeneracy. So this kind of unusual, it's hard to realize probe in experiments, but theoretically we can still pretend we can have this kind of probe. And then for quantum Hall state, or for in general for topological ordered states, we find the degeneracy of ground state may depend on the topology of the space. Okay, but then there's the issue: do we believe a few integers can characterize all the topological orders? Maybe it's probably that's not the case. So we need to find an even more detailed probe. So the more detailed probe can come from the so-called non-abelian barrier phase. Because if you have a ground state degeneracy, then we can imagine we can deform the Hamiltonian. When you deform Hamiltonian, the degenerate ground state may twist around. And especially when you deform Hamiltonian around the loop, then this twisting of degenerate ground state will give us a unitary matrix, not just a phase, but unitary matrix, which is called the non-abelian barrier phase, proposed by Wilczek and Z at the beginning. And but for our case, we can imagine to deform the torus. So this is a torus with a periodic boundary condition. We can deform torus like this and to form a loop. And then a associated non-abelian barrier phase from this degeneracy D1 would give us D1 by D1 matrix. We call this matrix T. And there's another matrix we call the matrix S, and et cetera. So basically, this degeneracy and non-abelian barrier phase can be our data, our measurable data to define this concept called the topological order. And it turns out that we believe, maybe not proven, we believe maybe those data contain all the information. For example, the number of quasi particle type is given by the degeneracy on the torus, and the eigenvalue of this T matrix from this deformation give rise to quasi particle fractional statistics. So this basically became a kind of operational definition of topological order using degeneracy and non-abelian barrier phase. But however, we know that this kind of operational definition is kind of a microscopic picture. We just define something measurable. So, but what is this? You know, what is this topological order? What is a wave function? How we look at it from microscopic point of view is still a problem. And now recently we have this another insight, which coming from the quantum entanglement. You know, in the quantum entanglement, we can calculate entangled entropy associated with a partial region of the system. And we can consider entangled entropy for this different shape of a region. And then to have some combination of entangled entropy. And in this case, it turns out that this kind of combination is universal. It's easy to see because from A and B, we see that A and B only differ by this part. They're just removing this part, you can go from A to B. So the entangled entropy for region A, region B should be different. So that's the difference. Okay. But however, the difference between C and D also the same thing. We also just remove this part. Then that's the difference between C and D. So therefore, if everything is a short range and this is kind of trivial, then we expect that the difference between A and B and different than C and D should be the same because they only differ by something far away. If you're changing something far away, don't affect their difference, we expect this to be equal to zero for trivial case. But it turns out that for the topological ordered states, this kind of difference, this kind of universal combination is non-zero. Not only is non-zero, because this construction also easy to understand that if you perturb the system, perturb ground state a little bit, this number should not change. Okay, so this is called the topological entangled entropy. And the lesson from here is that the topological order really reflects some kind of long-range entanglement in the ground state. You know, this kind of a difference of entangled entropy really measure some kind of long-range entanglement. So this led us to think about maybe we should think about entanglement when we think about this topological order. So what is entanglement? You know, for many experts, this probably is too simple. But anyway, so this is an example of unentangled states, derived product states. Okay. And here is an entangled state on two sides, up and down, plus down, up. So that's entangled. And this is more entangled. You know, we have a up, up, down, down. You know, it's even more combination. But it turns out this is unentangled because in quantum mechanics we can choose the basics. Instead of you know, this expression actually is a up, down plus so up, down, derived product with up plus down. You know, it's a so actually it's an unentangled state where two spin point in x direction. So too much is can be nothing, you know. And so in the many-body case, like this is a anti-ferromagnetic states, which is an example of unentangled states. This is unentangled. This is entangled. Here on each neighboring spin, we form a spin singlet. But this is a so for each side is entangled. These two sides are highly entangled. It's up and down, minus down up. But however, from far away, if you regroup two sides into one, then these two sides is actually unentangled from other next two sides. So if you redefine the side, then it also became unentangled. So this is an example of so-called short-range entangled states. There's no long-range entanglement. And if you regroup the side, redefine the side, it's still product states. Okay. And the superfluid crystal, okay, crystal is also unentangled. Because crystal have a fixed atom position. So therefore, on every spatial point, we either have a zero particle. Oh, in other point, we have one particle. But on every spatial point, we have either 0 or 1. So we can think about the crystal as a product state of 0 or 1 on every spatial point. So that's an entangled state. So one way to make a highly entangled state is a superfluid. We consider superposition for all position of a particle. You know, that's a lot of entanglement looks like. There's a this plus that, all kind of superposition. But turns out here we do too much. Superfluids are entangled. Because all kind of superposition can be viewed as every special point, we have a superposition of a zero particle, one particle, two particle, etc. Then we have this kind of dual product on every special point. If we expand it, then we get a sum of all configuration. So this is a very interesting lesson because for a long time we thought superfluids are exemplary quantum states, but actually from quantum information point of view, it's unentangled. It's not highly entangled. Okay, so all this example actually is a it's kind of a you know we have many examples, but they all kind of shorter entangled or unentangled. So how to make a longer entanglement? Okay. So the lesson is that we should make a superposition, but not make every superposition. So we should not do too much. Just in the middle will be fine. So one way to not doing too much is the following. We can think about we can first join the particle into strings. Then consider all the superposition of a string configurations, rather than allow each particle to rather than consider superposition for all particle configurations, we consider superposition only all the possible string, but not with constraint, the particle form strings. And then another way is that we don't need to have a particle, we can consider spin. So if you think about down spin as your background, then the loop of up spin can be our strings. So then this superposition of all kind of strings can be viewed as some kind of spin states. So in this way, we are not talking about the superposition of all kind of spin configuration. We only consider superposition of some spin configuration, not every, but some. And in this case, it turns out that this superposition for all loops actually is not a product state. Furthermore, it's not a deformation of product states. So this is some concept from the quantum information. Because here, when I say that some local deformation, it really means that suppose we have the product states. We can do unitary transformation on a few local clusters. So then if you do that, we don't change the long range property of the system. So therefore, that's allow the local deformation. But amazingly that this kind of superposition loops is cannot be written as this local deformation of a product state. So have something intrinsic. So therefore, this superposition of all closed loops actually, this example of long-range entanglement and represent a non-trivial topological order. So why we are interested in long-range entanglement? Because in my mind, long-range entanglement actually source many wonders in the nature. So one of them actually is the origin of light. So after Maxwell find the Maxwell equation, people have been looking for the ethers, where the medium, ether is a medium. Which support a wave, and this wave satisfies a Maxwell equation. And for a long time, we didn't find it. But actually, the string liquid happened to be the media we are looking for. That's the wave in a string liquid satisfies a Maxwell equation. Why? Because in the superfluid, the wave in the superfluid is just a particle density, and which satisfies Euler equation. But however, the wave in a string liquid, it's just a string density. We can think of some region with more string, other region have less string. So this string density wave, maybe it's a wave in string liquid. But however, the string density wave are described by a vector because the string have a direction. In somewhere you have a more string, but in which direction? So actually string density is described by the vector. Furthermore, because here we consider closed strings. So therefore, this vector field which describes string density have no divergence. Because along the direction of a string, in order for string density to change, the string has to end. The string density can only change in the transverse direction of a string if a string never ends. So that's a, so therefore the string density wave only contain two transverse mode, no longitudinal mode. That's exactly the property of the of a photon of electromagnetic wave. So therefore it's very natural that the wave in the string liquid actually is gave rise to Maxwell equation. Okay. So but however this this longer entanglement also gave us a deeper and maybe more detailed understanding of quantum matter. So actually this is the main topic for this talk. So the previous one just in some introduction background. So let's consider a system with energy gap, which have no symmetry. So according to Landau's theory, if a Hamiltonian have no symmetry, there is still no symmetry to break. So therefore, there is only one phase because there's no symmetry breaking. And but however, from the point of view of entanglement, then things are different. We can have a so-called long-range entangled states or short-range entangled states. Even without any symmetry breaking, we can still have these two kinds of states. And so I just described that the long-range entangled state is states which cannot be connected to the short-range entangled states or product states via this local unitary transformation. That is one way to describe it. Another way is using more physical term is that the long-range entangled states is a state which cannot be deformed continuously to the product states without phase transition. So this continuous deformation is adiabatic evolution of Hamiltonian. Because long-range entangled states is a ground state of certain Hamiltonian. We can evolve this Hamiltonian, hoping the new Hamiltonian would have a product state as a ground state. Then we say there are certain Hamiltonian whose ground state long range entangled. There's no way to evolve this into a product state. And this adiabatic evolution and the quantum circuit actually have a one-to-one mapping. So these two definitions are the same. So this is so this really says that even without symmetry, we can still can have a different phase. Long-range entangled phase or short-range entangled phase. But for long-range entangled phase, things are very rich because we may have a different long-range entangled state where one long-range entangled state cannot be connected to another long-range entangled state via this local unit transformation or via this adiabatic evolution. So therefore, we have many kinds of long-range entangled states. So this actually is a topological order. However, for short-range entangled state, the situation is very simple. Every short-range entangled state can change into product states, and every product state can change to each other. So every short-range entangled state can change into every other short-range entangled state. So all the short-range entangled states are connected to each other, they belong to one phase. So therefore, this is a kind of a new picture of a quantum phase without symmetry. We have a pattern for long-range entanglement. So this really poses a new question. You know, we still don't know what really is long-range entanglement, but we just feel there's something there. So what really is? What is the mathematics to describe it? What a symbol, what a label to give this each one, not just one, two, or A, B, C, D. We quickly run out of alphabet. And but so this is really a challenge. You know, once you believe there's something new there, then to come up with the formalism to describe this would be a theoretical challenge. Okay. However, you know, in condensed matter, we usually consider a system with a symmetry, because without symmetry, there's no symmetry breaking, no Landau theory. So usually, when you have a phase transition, the Hamiltonian always have some symmetry. So here, we also consider Hamiltonian have a symmetry. Then if Hamiltonian have a symmetry, what kind of state can we have? Now obviously we can have a symmetry breaking state. So we don't think about that. So that's a symmetry breaking Landau theory. So let's assume we have a Hamiltonian with a symmetry and whose ground state also have a symmetry, no symmetry breaking. Then do we have a more state? The answer is yes. From previous transparency, we say we should have a long range entangled symmetric state or short range entangled symmetric states. And we also can speculate, maybe you have many different long-range entangled symmetric states. And maybe you only have one short-range entangled symmetric states. But it turns out that even for Schottky entangled states, symmetric state, we have many of them, not just one. It turns out this is a little bit surprising. So we have for state which have Schottky entanglement but do not break symmetry, we still have many phase. So we can call this a symmetry protect a trivial phase. And so what is an example of that? So okay, let me say this. For this kind of symmetry protect a Schottky entangled state is that if you try to deform one to another, we can do that. You can find deformation paths to deform one state to another. But however, this path breaks the symmetry. If you require that the deformation path always preserve symmetry, then there is no way to connect this to that in a way which preserve symmetry. So that's the essence of this Schottky entangled symmetry protect states. And the first example of this is a Hodan phase. Actually, the Hodan phase is a phase for one-dimensional spin one chain, which are protected by SO3 symmetry. And the other more well-known example is a topological insulator, which are protected by the U1, the particle conservation, and the time reversal symmetry. And both Hodan phase and the topological insulator are referred as a topological phase. So maybe you should call this a symmetry protect topological phase, so still SPT state. Okay, so this became interesting, because otherwise, why you study Schottky entangled states? They are trivial. Actually, they are not trivial. The Hodan phase and topological insulator are very interesting, highly non-trivial. There's a lot of research activity. Okay, so now we are facing the following thing. So with the symmetry have Langevin entangled states. We have a symmetry breaking states, or we have a symmetry unbreaking but the Schottky entangled states. So do we have a theory for them? Yeah, we do have a theory for this symmetry breaking state. That's a group theory. You can use a group theory to describe symmetry breaking states. Langevin entangled states obviously should be hard. So it looks like this may be easy. There's a Schottky entangled with the symmetry. So probably we can come up with a theory for this kind of states. So that is what you gain by thinking from an entanglement point of view. If you think about the entanglement point of view, we can group phase in different way. Then we can identify a certain class of a phase which may be easy to handle. So then we may come up with some kind of systematic theory. So it looks like the natural thing to do is this one, symmetry protected Schottky entangled states. Okay. And then for the free fermion theory, actually we do have a theory. For the free fermion symmetry protect Schottky entangled states, there is a case theory. And so actually the case theory is very complete. It's completely classify the free fermion Schottky entangled states. Okay. Then what about the interaction? Can we include a strong interaction in our system and still come up with some kind of classification? You know, usually for the free fermion, we have an energy band, we can fill the energy level, then using the K theory or some homotopy theory or the chain class, we can do this. But with interaction, looks like it's very difficult, because for strongly interacting system, it's very hard to handle. We don't know where to start. But however, because we have said that the Schottky entangled or its SPT phase actually are kind of trivial. They are Schottky entangled. So to people from quantum information, the Schottky entangled states are really simple things. So since we are trying to classify the Schottky entangled phase, maybe it's okay. Maybe we can have something. So that's indeed the situation. Once we thinking about those states are Schottky entangled, so they are not that scary. They are maybe okay. We can do something. Okay. So we indeed find that for the bosonic system first. If you do the bosonic system, then we can come up with something in terms of the group cohomology. So this theory really coming based on two main observations. The one observation is that the Schottky entangled state can have some kind of simple canonical form. So here's a, there's a we have no proof, but again, this is a conjecture. Okay, I hope there is some proof for this. So this is some kind of graphic representation of a short entangled state. So this line means these two states are entangled. And certainly, we have a symmetry. So therefore, the degree freedom would form a representation of the symmetry. So this point form a representation of the symmetry. Okay, since they are short entangled, so we can divide the system into big regions. So that the state in the region which are not next to each other have no entanglement. So the state from here cannot entangle with state here. It can only entangle with state in the next region or in the region which share the corner. Okay. So once we divide space into this big region, now we can think about we can doing some unit transformation within each region to rearrange this degree freedom. So that to put all the degree freedom entangled with these three squares into this upper left corner, and etc. So then we can imagine after this some kind of unitary transformation in each region, then the state we can regroup state in each region so that this state entangled with these three region and this state entangled with these three region and etc. So we believe this is doable. In one dimension, there is rigorous proof this is doable, but we believe in higher dimension. Probably this is also doable. But this, anyway, regardless whether this belief is true or not, this kind of interesting thing. So I wonder whether some people from quantum information can have some more rigorous proof of this. Yes or no? This will be very, very interesting. And therefore, if this is true, then after this kind of regrouping, then you can see that we can view each region as an effective site. So this effective site will contain 4 degree freedom. But since all this degree freedom all come from this single degree freedom here, so on each effective site, all these degree freedom together still form a representation. But then the next thing is very interesting. Although they together form representation, but however, this individual effective degree freedom on each side may not be a representation. So there's tension here. Even though this state have a symmetry, this state is a symmetric state, and each side form representation. When you do the grouping, we're using entanglement to group to separate these 4 states on each effective side. But that's from entanglement, that's separation from entanglement point of view. Then I want to say this separation from entanglement point of view may not be natural from symmetry point of view. So when you do the separation from entanglement point of view, then each one may not be a representation from symmetry point of view. So it is this tension, this kind of frustration between the entanglement and the symmetry, which give us some kind of interesting structure. If you only look at entanglement, this is product state, it's very trivial. This is product state. But however, if you say, there's also symmetry in it. Then the symmetry actually, symmetry somehow tie this together, so make this a kind of a non-trivial. So this interaction between entanglement and symmetry make non-trivial. So this is a kind of the idea. So but how that idea works? So the one can just from some example, we can see how this idea works. And so let's consider 1D example. Do we have a state where the whole state is symmetric, and then they are entangled. They form this entangled bond, a shorter entangled, but they form this dimer entangled bond. But however, each degree freedom here are not symmetric. So one typical example is this Hodan phase. On each side, we have a spin 0 and a spin 1, so total 4 state on each side. We can view the 4 state as a 2 spin 1 half. You know, then we can construct shorter entangled states by making this spin 1 half on the neighboring side into a singlet state. So this is a entangled block. This is a short entangled block. But the whole thing is short entangled because there's no entanglement between this block and this block. And the symmetry is SO3. But however, spin 1 half is not a representation for SO3 symmetry. You know, it is a representation of SU2, but SU2 and SO3 are different, you know. We usually say spin have SO2 rotation, and now I realize that's a bad thing to say. We should say spin have SO3 rotation. And so this is an example that spin 1/2 is not representation of SO3. But however, once you do this construction, the whole state are symmetric under SO3. And then you have this short entangled nature. So this is one example. And then we can have another example. It's here we have a Z2 symmetry. And this the construction example is it's kind of motivated from this AKL. This is not quite AKL, this is Hodan phase. And here we have on each side we have a 4 spin 1/2. Okay, just 4 spin 1/2. That's one side. Okay. And then the entangled block is very simple. We just have this O up plus O down. Using this 4 spin 1/2 from different sides to construct O up plus O down states. So that's our entangled block. Okay, so this is a Schrödinger entangled state. What is the symmetry? Naturally, the symmetry will be just a spin flip symmetry, spin up, flip down. That would be a symmetry. But however, no, here we don't implement Z2 symmetry that way. The Z2 symmetry is a spin flip. So this is x1, 2, 3, type 2, 4, really flip spin on each side. So this UX operator indeed flip spin. But however, our Z2 symmetry is a spin flip followed by a phase factor. This is a phase factor. And this phase factor is that every time we have a two neighboring spin pointing down, so down would have a minus one. Otherwise, this phase factor would be one. So say, for this particular case, like each neighbor just up and down neighbor. So there's phase factor here will be one, all equal to one. There's four phase factor for each pair, all equal to one. But if we have a down configuration, then this pair of down would give us a minus one. And in the quantum information, it's called it's called a CZ gate or something. And so this we call this a CZX model. And this Z2 symmetry is realized by the spin flip plus this 4CZ gate. Because it's a phase factor, clearly each degree freedom no longer form representation of Z2. Because when you do Z2 transformation, the spin do flip, but the phase depend on the neighboring spin. If you don't know neighbor spin, you don't know whether it have minus one or no minus one. So each spin don't form representation. But however, the four spin together indeed form a Z2 representation. So this is another example that, and even though this Z2 transformation is very strange, you can check that this state as a whole still Z2 symmetric. This entangled block under Z2 symmetry is unchanged, as a total wave function unchanged. So this is a way to construct a Schrödinger entangled states, but however. Each degree freedom don't form representation of symmetry, but the whole state is still environment under symmetry. It's some kind of a strange combination. Okay, and then this one also have a Hamiltonian. So this model there's a Hamiltonian. So so basically Hamiltonian have a term which is basically a projector. It's a up, down. It's a this is the projector to make sure this kind of block have a lowest energy. And then there's another four projector to make sure when we, this Hamiltonian act on this four side. So therefore, the Hamiltonian, the P operator also say, make sure these two spins have the same. So basically, this Hamiltonian have this Z2 symmetry. This Hamiltonian is by construction have this kind of Z2 symmetry. And this is the ground state of this particular Hamiltonian. So this is an example that's interacting bosonic SPT states, which are protected by a Z2 symmetry. Okay, and this Hamiltonian have a very special property. It have a gapless edge excitation. So it's pretty easy to see. Remember, this Hamiltonian basically enforce two things, enforcing that each block here have this up plus down, have this kind of entangled structure. And also enforce that this neighboring two spin all the way point in the same direction. So there, but however, if you cut the sample, then we find there is no Hamiltonian term here to enforce this block to be in the up, up, up plus down, down state. There's no enforcement there. So this kind of became dangling bound. So we only have an enforcement that these two spin point in the same direction, but we have no enforcement which direction they point to. So when you cut the system for this Hamiltonian, on the boundary, there will be effective up and down spin. Okay. And what is the most important thing is that then what about the symmetry? What is symmetry? How symmetry action is a boundary spin? That's still Z2 symmetry. But what is interesting is that we still have a spin flip symmetry. But we also have this actual phase factor. Depending on whether spins are up and down, there's also phase factor. And what is special about this symmetry is that this Z2 symmetry is not on-site symmetry. That is the most important feature. It's not on-site. Well, usually when you consider a symmetry, global symmetry, the symmetry would act on degree freedom in each site. So the total symmetry transformation is a direct product of this transformation on each site. So this we call on-site symmetry. However, this symmetry cannot be written as on-site symmetry. This one is on-site, but this phase factor involving neighboring spins. And there's no way to write down this as on-site symmetry. So this is, I think this is the key of this. At the bulk, symmetry arm on each side. So that's on-site symmetry, that's Z2 symmetry on-site. But however, the low energy degree freedom on the edge cannot have on-site symmetry. And then amazingly that the Hamiltonian satisfies this non-on-site symmetry. It's like a kind of like an icing model, transverse icing model with Z term and X term. But however, X term cannot appear alone. If X term appear alone, it will violate this kind of on-site symmetry. So we have to have this combination. Then this combination or this combination do not violate this on-site symmetry. So why this is so special? Because we have a proof that the Hamiltonian have this non-on-site symmetry. This particular kind of non-on-site symmetry must be gapless or must break symmetry. There are only two options. You either break the Z2 symmetry or remain gapless. You cannot have a symmetric state which have energy gap. So this is the feature that interesting interaction between short entanglement and interaction have some dynamic consequence on the edge. And this is very similar to topological insulator. You know, topological insulator also have a gapless boundary state. But the gaplessness is only there if you, at boundary, you do not break time-reversal symmetry. If you break time-reversal symmetry, there's no gapless and boundary state. Here's the same thing, but this is for interacting system. On the boundary, we have Z2 symmetry. If you don't break Z2 symmetry, the boundary must be gapless. So this is therefore, using the entanglement point of view, we have a very different way to understand this kind of a symmetry protect edge states. Yes?
Before you showed us that sometimes the group doesn't act on the local site.
No, because this is a site. The symmetry acts on the site. You know, in a bulk, the Z2 symmetry acts on each site. So here we still have the site still intact. We have one side, two side, three side. So therefore, when at the bulk, the symmetry acts on the site is fine.
Yeah.
But however, the boundary states have some kind of entanglement in the middle. So when you, because the boundary degree freedom are this effective spin. We'll try to translate this bulk symmetry operation on this boundary effective spin. Then we end up with this. And so we have this non-on-site symmetry.
But all these zones and x, they're just referring to the boundary now. Is that right?
Yeah, for this one is only boundary.
Oh,
but in terms of effective spin.
But the one above that says edge effective Z2 symmetry, sort of three lines from the bottom.
What's that?
Go down. This one.
Effective Z2 symmetry. Yeah, this operator only acts on the Hilbert space of this effective boundary space. Yeah. So here we already translate because the things are falling, because the bulk is a kind of shorter entangled. Then you expect. The boundary should be decoupled from the bulk. So we show the formula boundary by one-dimensional theory. So the answer is yes, you can indeed formulate the boundary state purely to 1D theory.
I see. So
but however, the symmetry have a little bit of twist here. So as long as you, once you identify this kind of effective symmetry, you can forget the bulk. Just do 1D system with this symmetry. That would give us the physics of an edge state of this bulk system.
So these Z tildes are some effective spin.
Effective spin, yeah. Z tilde is this blue spin, not the black spin. So this is a actually this looks like a very simple example, but the whole this can be generalized. You know, this example can be generalized from the state construction to this physics of edge states. And for those who are familiar with the Weiss-Minow-Witten model, and I want to say that this is the Hamiltonian Weiss-Minow-Witten model. With a discrete gauge group, a discrete symmetry group. You know, usually Weiss-Minow-Witten model is for continuous group. And we don't know how to write down Weiss-Minow-Witten model for discrete group. But there is a way to do that. And then this is a Hamiltonian version of this discrete Weiss-Minow-Witten model. And so they have this kind of interesting property. And to generalize to other group, you know, with this Z2, it's pretty simple. You know, this spin up, spin down can be viewed as a two group element. Say up means an identity element, down means one element. Okay. Then we can generalize this to, we have other group, we can use in the group element to label the states. Then the all up plus all down became super, became this, this entangled block is that all the states label that same element, then we over superposition for over all the group. So that's just a very straightforward generalization. And then the transformation is also similar. When you do the transformation, we just multiply the group element by some transformation element. So we get a transformation like spin flip. But here we add actual phase factor. Okay. And this phase factor is chosen carefully so that the whole thing still form a representation. Even though with the phase factor, still form a representation. And actually there's a mathematics about it. And this mathematics is happened to be so-called the group cohomology theory, just choosing this phase factor. And actually, in different dimension, there's different way to do this. So in each different dimension, we have a different cohomology class and etc. So basically, this you can also view this as like a definition of a group cohomology. And so from this point of view, it's not hard to see that we have this result. In the D-dimensional theory, these bosonic SPD states can be classified or constructed by this group cohomology. And this is something which is well studied by in mathematics. And but follow this line of thinking, we can have a pretty comprehensive theory, pretty comprehensive theory for the SPD states for any symmetry in any dimension. H2 is a project representation. So actually, for the Hodan phase, spin 1/2, we know it's a project representation. And then that happened to be H2. And I don't know that, but later I realized, I know this became H2, then one can motivate maybe two dimensions should be H3, three dimensions should be H4, and et cetera, but which indeed is the case. But however, H3, H4 is not project representation. Something, I still don't know what's more physical, but it's something like this non-onset symmetry. There are some non-onset symmetry. Yeah. And so relate to Weiss-Minow-Witten model, actually. There are some relation to Weiss-Minow-Witten model. But that's only for continuous group. And the discrete version is what you do is a discrete version of that.
The edge Hamiltonian is gapless for every value of bx and by?
No. There's a two possibility, symmetry breaking or gapless.
Okay.
So if you plot a phase diagram bx, by, then there's a region where you break into symmetry and the region is a gapless. Okay. So but there's no region which is a gapped and no signature breaking.
Okay.
Yeah. As in for this particular case, I think if by equal to zero, this one is gapless. For by not equal to zero, we don't know yet. This numerical results and some theory consideration seems to have a little bit of conflict, and so maybe gapped or maybe gapless. Yeah. So in this model is maybe special. That's the gapless region, maybe only a line. Yeah. And so most cases it's always break Z2 symmetry. Yeah. And so what is a group cohomology? Okay. First of all, this is a set. You know, just has some element. So each element just label this pattern of face. You know, this face pattern is a labeled element. And then there's this, but however, this set have a plus operation. It's actually from abelian group. So we can say the two elements can add to get the third element also in the same set. And this abelian operation have a physical meaning. Basically, suppose we have a SPD state correspond to element A, another SPD state correspond to element B. We can stack these two SPD states together to get another gapped state. And this third state is the one associated with element C, which is from A plus B. So this plus operation, basically stacking operation of this state. So because it has a plus operation, so we can know there's a so-called trivial element where you add this to any other element, give us the same element. So this trivial element corresponds to trivial SPD states. The other element corresponds to non-trivial SPD states. So basically, that's a very basic thing about group cohomology. And so this group cohomology classification actually led to as a byproduct led to a complete classification of 1D gap phase. This because Westrater, the Serac and the collaborators, they prove one thing, that is in one dimension, there's no long-range entangled states if we have an energy gap. So all the gapped 1D states are short-range entangled. So therefore, in one dimension, this picture is changing. If no symmetry, we have a trio, just one short-range entangled state. If we have symmetry, we either have a symmetry breaking state or SPD states. Symmetry breaking is the class of a group theory. SPD is group cohomology theory. So in general, that if it can combine, if these two can be mixed, if you mix the two, then we have the following result. All the 1D gap space are classified by three elements. The symmetry group of Hamiltonian, the symmetry group of ground states. For Landau symmetry breaking theory, yeah, these two elements that we say, these two elements classify all the symmetry breaking states. But however, with this short-range entangled SPD states, we add another entry, which is a projective mutation of unbroken group. So actually, these three mathematical objects label all the 1D gap states. So that's a wonderful result from this short-range entanglement. And yes. Oh, yeah, they're all zero temperature. I'm talking about the quantum phase in this talk only. So they're always zero temperature phase, only zero temperature phase transition. Yeah, no. But certainly there's a very interesting how much of this can generalize to finite temperature. Because zero temperature, we have this path integral distribution, but however, the weights can be complex number. In the finite temperature, we have a partition function. The weight is always a positive real number. So whether these two pictures, how much this can be applied there, we don't know. Yeah. And so we know that if I have a symmetry group is SO3, this H2 of SO3 have only two elements, 0 and 1. So this says that we have this the zero trivial phase, the one corresponds to the Hodan phase. The Hodan phase, you can see when the Hodan phase have finite boundaries, we have a spin 1/2 appears. Spin 1/2 is not representation of SO3, although every side is representation of SO3. But however, the two end, because a finite chain always have two end, these two end form SO3 representation. But each end alone do not form SO3 representation. So there's some kind of fractionalization of representation. And then we have this, we can go beyond the Hodan phase. So for the D2 symmetry, the D2 basically is a subgroup SO3 rotation. Basically, it's 380 degree 180 degree rotation along XYZ axis. That's a D2, three discrete rotation. And the H means we also have a time reversal symmetry. So therefore, the D2H is three discrete rotation plus time reversal. Then if you're looking in some mathematical literature, find the H2, D2H have 16 elements. Zero is a trivial one, but there's a 15 non-trivial one. So that's been interesting. So what is this 15 non-trivial new phase? What are they? How to realize them? So that became a condensed matter problem. So here's a model which realize two of these 15 non-trivial states for D2 symmetry. The model is that it's a ladder, it's B1/2 ladder, and have this anti-ferromagnetic coupling along the chain. However, the interchain coupling have this SZ coupling, that's the interchain coupling. We also always assume lambda Z is negative. You know, J is positive, we assume J is positive, so therefore, along the chain, speed one to be anti-parallel. But however, lambda Z says that the spin on each run want to be either both up or both down. That's a lambda Z, negative lambda Z prefer both up or both down along this each run. So then obviously, when lambda Z equal to, when lambda X equal to zero and lambda Z equal to -1/2, then we have a icing anti-ferromagnetic state. Because that's simply each run, this up, down, down, up, down, down. So that's kind of anti-ferromagnetic state. That's here. So now let's turn on the lambda x. The lambda x kind of frustrates the lambda z. Because if lambda x is less than zero, lambda x prefer two spin to be parallel along this run. But however, in the xy direction, it's xy direction, so in the plane. So therefore, when the lambda x is very negative, the spin don't know where to direct point to, either up, down, down, or horizontal. But they always want to be parallel, so they always spin one. So not surprisingly, when lambda x became bigger, we got this T0 phase, which is a Hodan phase. Hodan phase of spin one chain. But when lambda x is a positive, then on each run is up, one want to be anti-parallel in the plane. And then when lambda x is bigger, actually these two are totally symmetric, this model in this case. Then that's a so-called TZ phase. That's one of the new phase. We call TZ phase. And this phase have a special property that, you know, both Hodan phase and the TZ phase have a property that on the boundary, we have effective spin 1/2 degree freedom. This spin 1/2 degeneracy, the twofold degeneracy on each boundary. But however, when you apply magnetic field, their response are very different. In this Hodan phase, the boundary effective spin respond to all magnetic field in XYZ direction. Means if you apply magnetic field in XYZ direction, they will split degeneracy. But however, for the TZ phase, it's different. Only the magnetic field in Z direction would split the degeneracy. The magnetic field in XYZ direction, XY direction are in fact ineffective. They don't split the degeneracy. As you can see from here, this the spin always anti-parallel in that direction. And this is a protected feature. So this can be, so this is a model example to realize this phase. And then this experimental probe you can use to detect this different phase. And actually, there's a more complex model can realize other 15 phase and et cetera. So then this table, since this group cohomology is studied, so it's kind of well known in mathematics for every group. So therefore, you can for every symmetry group, you can have a table. And so for example, for this U1 symmetry with a time reversal symmetry, and then we have this, in one dimension, we have two kind of states, including trivial one. Two dimension, we have one non-trivial, one trivial one. Three dimension, we have one trivial one, three non-trivial one. The total of four, trivial plus non-trivial is a four. And this line, this symmetry happens to be a symmetry for topological insulator. So actually, this line representing a classification of a bosonic topological insulator with interaction. So this green entry corresponds to the free fermion result. In two dimension, we have a one non-trivial free fermion topological insulator. In three dimension, we have a one non-trivial topological insulator for free fermion. But for boson, interacting boson in three dimension, there's a three non-trivial topological insulator in three dimension. And this blue line corresponds to only time reversal. So that's what we call topological superconductor. So this is a comparison with topological superconductor. And certainly here we can do any group, you know, so that's kind of beyond this topological superconductor. So then we have all kind of a new phase. So those are phase, basically it's a symmetric shorter entangled phase. So that's kind of a classification. But this is only for the boson. This is only for boson. How about the interacting fermion? For interacting fermion, recently we have a result, which is we need to generalize the group cohomology theory to group super cohomology theory. So there is a fermionic version of a group cohomology theory. And this group super cohomology theory is not there in mathematics yet. We have to invent it. And so it's only in the early stage. So therefore, we can only handle some special symmetry where the fermion form a 1D representation of symmetry. We don't know how to handle more general case. We can only handle the case where fermion form a 1D representation of the symmetry. And in that case, we can have some, for some symmetry, simple symmetry group where fermion form a 1D representation, we have some classification. For example, this line corresponds to the symmetry, the fermion with only time reversal symmetry. Interacting fermion system with time reversal symmetry. In three dimension, we find there's a four phase, a trivial phase plus three non-trivial phase. And the comparison with the free fermion result, the free fermion have no non-trivial phase in this case. So all these three non-trivial phase cannot be constructed from the free fermion theory, but they're there. And recently we have some idea try to generalize this cohomology, super cohomology theory in a more general way. So to incorporate the more general case, but we are still working on that. And so certainly you can say so far what we discussed are just a simple one. I mean, the trivial one. It's a short entangled states. There's much more interesting to study long entangled states. But amazingly, actually, we know more for long entangled states and know that for longer time because we have been working on long entangled states from very early on. And actually, we come up with, you know, here just list some work which gave rise to systematic understanding. Actually, the initial work is much earlier. And so you have this quantum double model, which can very systematically construct a lot of 2D long-ring entangled states, a string length model. And this mirror and the tensor entanglement normalization can also be provide a generic framework to describe all these 2D long-ring entangled states. But however, there are also something like, but this, for some reason, this only applies so-called non-chiral topological order. The first quantum Hall states correspond to so-called chiral topological order. So allow me not to explain this. And there's a more complication. So for chiral topological order, we know less. I think we probably have a complete classification of a non-chiral topological order. For chiral topological order, we only have some, we probably have a classification for abelian states. And but for other non-abelian states, there's some attempt of classification, but probably it's incomplete. So there's a lot of unknown here. So to summarize, I want to say that you know, we want to understand this systematically this short entangled and long entangled states. And here's what we have. For symmetry breaking short entangled states, we have a group theory. For free fermion short entangled states, we have a case theory. And for interacting short entangled states, we may have a group cohomology theory. This may not be complete. You know, this is at the moment, this is a very systematic construction. We are not sure whether this construction can construct all those phases or not. We don't know. And I myself think maybe that's all. But Kitev say no. And it's hard for me to contradict with him. But then there's a long-ring entangled state. For long-ring entangled state, we have very, although we work on that for much longer time, for 20 years, but we have less understanding. Actually, for two-dimensional one, we may have a better understanding. Like non-chiral one, we may have a systematic understanding. But for 3D, it's very little. Non-chiral one is very little. And certainly, this is these are truly hard part, non-trivial part. It's a long-ring entangled states. Actually, these Lagrangian time states are connected to many things. You know, like this, where the, we talk about this emergent for Maxwell equation actually come from this Lagrangian entanglement. And actually, the emergent Fermi statistics also can come from Lagrangian entanglement. And the tensor category and the class Fission 3 manifold seems all have a very intimate connection with understanding of Lagrangian entanglement. And in higher dimension, tensor category only works for 2D case. In 3D case, there's maybe a fancier word called N category something, maybe related. And the people, I think people in loop quantum gravity study a lot of this network model, and which is also closely connected. So one cannot wonder maybe the whether emergence of gravity also relate to Lagrangian entanglement. And so looks like the field of entanglement is very broad. And so it's very new and very broad. So a lot of both theoretical challenge, also a lot of experimental issue. You know, once we find those phase, so how to realize them, which material have them, you know, what kind of experiment to do to measure these things. Those are not easy to measure. We have to come up with a special design of the experiment to measure this. We don't have anything, at the moment, we don't do anything about the phase transition. You know, different phase, they may have phase transition for this SPT state, Lagrangian entanglement states. We don't know which two states are neighbor, which two states can have a continuous transition, what their critical exponent, all this. You know, critical theory for symmetry breaking states is the Landau-Ginzburg theory. But here, do we have a similar thing like Ginzburg-Landau theory for the critical transition between different SPT phase and all that? So this is, we just see the beginning of something very rich, which seems to connect many different things. Yeah, thank you. Yes.
So G2 maybe is, I guess, related to somehow measuring the actual entanglement?
Like no. G1 is just some parameter. So you can say G1 maybe is a pressure in X direction, G2 is a magnetic field. I just say Hamiltonian depends on certain parameter. So these are quantum phase transition. So we don't change the temperature, always zero temperature. We're changing parameter in the Hamiltonian, like a magnetic field, the pressure, or some shear, or something like that. Then using that to drive the phase transition so that we can have phase diagrams. So that's what G1, G2 means.
So in the beginning and in the end, you talked about a lot about entanglement.
Yeah.
But in the middle, it was more local symmetries, group theory, group cohomology, and so on.
Yeah.
Can you say a little more about the connection? I mean,
yeah. So the group, when you think about entanglement, that's basically the issue about the long range entanglement and the short range entanglement. So no symmetry. So that's related to now being statistics and such a fraction statistics, and that's related to that. And the fractional charge related to entanglement. But however, when you have symmetry and the short range entanglement, then the issue becomes trivial from entanglement point of view. So non-trivial issue is interaction between entanglement and the symmetry. So the entanglement between symmetry and entanglement. So this entanglement between symmetry and entanglement is a group cohomology. Because entanglement is trivial, it's a short entanglement, so it's kind of trivial. So that's group cohomology. But there is another issue. So if the interaction between short entanglement and the symmetry is a group cohomology, with long entanglement and the symmetry, there's interaction between Lagrangian entanglement and the symmetry. That is again something mathematicians haven't studied yet. So that's like a tensor category with a symmetry. And so that's again, so right now mathematicians study tensor categories, but there's a very few study of a tensor category combined with a symmetry. So there should be some additional mathematical strategies describing interaction between entanglement, Lagrangian entanglement and the symmetry. So that's yet another big thing.
You think tensor category is the right mathematics to describe long range entanglements?
At the moment, it looks like, you know, I only know tensor categories, so looks like this is offer maybe most general thing. But however, only for non-chiral topological order. For chiral topological order, time sign characters don't work, and we don't have a, we don't know what is the right mathematics language. Yeah. And also, with the symmetry, interaction between symmetry and the Langring entanglement is untouched. So that's another thing which is very interesting and should be touched. So right now we just do the easy thing first, then we move to there.
So can you remind us why Kitaev thinks that the cohomology is not sufficient to classify all these variables?
I don't know. I don't understand why he thinks that. But these things relate to the following thing, relate to this assumption. So is this the only canonical form for short-range entangled states? You can see our results are based on this assumption. And this assumption have a proof in one dimension. So in one dimension, that's all. But in two dimensions, three dimensions, do we have a other more general canonical form for short-range entangled states? That's a question. So you can see here, one needs some kind of intuition about entanglement. Even short-range entanglement seems non-trivial. The short-range should be trivial, but can we write down every short-range entangled state in this form? You know, or whether there's some other kind of twist, it's still short-range entangled, but there's some unexpected twist, and it's more than this.
So Kitaev says that you can't, but he doesn't have an example.
Okay. Kitaev's way of thinking and our thinking is very different. And what we think are based on this local unitary transformation, basically we say, when we define short-range entanglement, we say the short-range entangled state is state which can be transformed into product state via this local unitary transformation. But Kitaev didn't use this way to define, to separate states. He using a state as a, I don't know, something like there's a notion about using local data to representing the global states. So he using this to define his short-range entangled state. So actually, in his, he have a definition of short-range entanglement, which is different from ours. And some non-trivial, some long-range entangled state, according to our definition, belong to short-range entangled state of his definition. But certainly, this issue is important because we want to divide the hard problem into simple one. Where you draw a reasonable line whether you can make a successful story depend on where you draw a proper line. If you draw some line which including some hard problem, it's hard to make progress. If you draw a line which make it simple but also non-trivial, then you can make a good story. And so we have a choice to draw the line, and he have a choice to draw a line, and so I think that's some confusion, and also some intuition is very different. So I don't at the moment I don't understand his intuition.
Yeah. Okay, just a question.
Yeah.
So in your big table, say let's say for the boson system.
Yeah.
For all these non-trivial trivial.
Oh no, I got the wrong direction.
So let me take any of the two or three dimensional examples.
Okay.
So so it's good to know that there are these many non-trivial kinds of states.
Yeah.
For each one of them, what's the physical characterization?
Okay, this is very interesting. So they all have the protected edge states. But now, since you asked this question, I can say that from another angle, which I didn't emphasize. For example, let's look at this Zn. So in two dimensions, have a Zn class. So let's say Z3. For Z3 class, then there are two non-trivial Z3 symmetry product states. And for this Z3 symmetry product states, we believe, and actually Xie is working on that, is that only right mover on the boundary carry Z3 charge. Left mover don't carry Z3 charge. So symmetry is realized chirally. And this echo, SO3. For SO3, the two-dimensional model is Z class. So actually, the nonlinear sync model is a three-dimensional nonlinear sync model, 2+1-dimensional nonlinear sync model, which happened to be the Weissman-Witter model for the SO3 group. That's a fixed point theory. And on the boundary, it's a one-dimensional, 1+1-dimensional theory, whose effective theory also is the SO3 Weissman-Witter model, where only right mover carry SO3 spin. Left mover is a mirror image of right mover, but don't carry spin. Don't carry quantum number. But as a state, they are mirror image. But they don't change. They are singlet and SO3. Z2 is very special. For some reason, Z2 lost this chirality. But many of the states, those states have no time relative symmetry. So actually, the symmetry is realized. We believe this may be general. The series is realized chirally on the boundary.
So the spin quantum ball effect, the spin current
for the edge? For the spin, so basically.
Does it have a spin quantum ball effect?
No. Let me see why I say that. Or maybe yes. Here you probably do have a spin quantum ball.
But there's no thermal quantum.
No thermal, yes. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, yeah. From excitation point of view, they are left-right symmetric. But if you consider their transformation property, only right mover transform and left mover don't transform. But this has to be stated in a very carefully, because we have to label those states using this using the conformal field theory, this primary field. Then there's we can only say right mover primary field carry charge, SO3, left mover primary field don't. Because the most excitation are mixing both the left and right mover. So when you see the excitation moving to the right, doesn't mean it's only purely right mover. So this can carry SO3. Only purely right mover and purely right mover don't carry SO3. But how to define purely right mover and purely left mover? We have to write this boundary states as a product of two theory, a right mover sector and the left moving sector. And each sector, one carry SO3, one don't carry. Then the whole thing is your product is two sector. So this may be a general structure. So I don't know 2D, 3D we don't know. This is very suggestive. That's for some reason, in 2D edge states, symmetry is realized chirally. At least for those with no time real symmetry. With time real symmetry, again, we don't know. But again, one can wonder whether there's some chiral thing in 3D. That would be kind of interesting. Yeah, but this is really, yeah, we will have very few knowledge of that. But that's, again, right now we just have a table. Now, do we have a more physical, more measurable image of this? Right now, we don't have a mathematical image of this, but one do need some physical picture, physical intuition for this. But that thing, that's more work. Yeah, that's more.
Thank you.